Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with Rick, and we are about ready to start our program called The Bible on Trial. We're delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy day today on June 5, 2020, to join us for our program, where we use the words of Jesus Christ that he gave to his own eyewitness disciples and the words of God Almighty in the Old Testament to confirm the truth. So let us get started here. I will in just a minute put up our website on the chat, and you can go to our chat room at, you can go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around. I'll post that on chat. And we also would encourage you to go to our original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital M. There you will find all sorts of wonderful writing as well and information. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, grant us a peaceful and joyous day as we go through the process of learning the truth. We understand that truth is singular and absolute, and that we will only understand that truth when we understand the words of Jesus. And I thank you for helping us to understand those words through the Holy Spirit today, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Dr. Don, up here and say hi. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
I understand you were over and saw the big fire at the Amazon Fulfillment Center.
Yes, fulfillment. What does that mean?
Well, that's where they process all the orders.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I didn't actually see the fire. I saw the smoke. I was over at the VA for a 8-hour fasting blood draw, so that's when I saw the helicopters overhead.
Wow, okay. Well, good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Dennis. And good morning, good day. Welcome to all of our listeners. I promise I will give you an interesting study, and one that you, I would imagine, have not heard before. I want to start out with an observation that I have made about what is going on primarily in this country, the United States, but actually I guess there are quote-unquote sympathetic
vibrations
rioting in other countries. And there's been a lot of flack and pushback from both sides, sympathizers with the rioters and sympathizers with law and authority. And what I have observed is that it appears that Donald Trump and the group of people that are working with him are using a tactic that God uses, which to me is reassuring. I can't count. I mean, I'm sure I could if I went through with a fine-tooth comb, but I know that there were many times where the prophet of God could not understand why the wicked were prospering. And brought that, quote unquote, to God's attention on more than one occasion. Why do the wicked prosper and the law-abiding suffer? And I think that both God and the good, quote-unquote, good guys in the government are doing this for the same reason. Have you ever tried to prosecute a rat in court? When you've got a few rats sitting on the jury and a rat behind the podium, and rats outside the courtroom chanting, "Free the rat, free the rat." And the rat always manages to get off on a quote-unquote technicality. You need to allow the demon rats to thoroughly and completely show their intentions, their supporters, their partners in crime, and those that are facilitating them. If you don't, they are going to use the vagaries to their advantage and have any court case brought against them thrown out on a technicality. They have limitless funding. Why do the wicked prosper? Well, according to God, they will not prosper forever. And he says, "Watch me. I am about ready to act." And for a clear statement of support from God to Moses, God told Moses that the reason he waited until the time that he did to bring the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob into the land that he had promised their forefathers that he would give to them as their own land. The reason he had to wait the amount of time that he did is they needed to fill their cup to the full, to the brim, their cup of evil and iniquity. And when that cup was full, God had perfect authority and a right to expel them from the land and give the land to the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even though these offspring, the children of Israel, had not become a holy nation, as they were required to do. God had made a promise to their progenitor, Abraham, and he was fulfilling the promise.
By the way, I'm sorry if you're hearing crackling and stuff in the background. I'm making lunch for my wife.
And a promise is a promise. He made the promise to Abraham. It was unconditional, but he did condition it on their staying in the land, that they would only be able to continue on in the land generation after generation after generation if they walked uprightly, if they kept the covenant, if they acted within the law, if they loved their neighbor as their self, and if they did not worship any other gods. And we know the history that they did. And this was the charge against them, that God had his prophets speaking in public so that they all knew why God was about to kick them out of the land. Because they had a requirement that they failed to meet. So, don't be disheartened because it looks like those who are on the side of law and order are standing back with their thumbs in their pockets, telling everybody how terrible the situation is, but seemingly not doing anything about it. Judgment Day is coming, and when it comes, it will be effective, it will be lawful, it will be swift, and it will be complete. A judgment day is coming for the world. The people of the world will be judged. Not so much on whether they are quote-unquote good people, but whether or not they have been willing to listen to and to learn the truth. It is my understanding, which does not make this a truthful fact, but this is my understanding, that God has given a few, dare I say, esoteric clues, subtle esoteric clues. What do I mean by esoteric? Well, esoteric is kind of hidden. It's more of a hidden clue. But the fact that it's hidden means that for those who are making a knowledgeable investigation, those who know God and how God operates will be able to see these esoteric clues. And when they do, will have a will have some knowledge about a future reality that the rest of the world does not know. And you know what I'm talking about. What I see happening right now is I see Lucifer and his cabinet from hell working to force the death road reality described in the book of Revelation to take place, because God is not doing it. When you think about it, a condemned person will do whatever, they know their end is sure. They know that. They know their end is sure. But they're going to go out in a blaze of glory. If they're going out, they're going out in a blaze of glory, and they're going to take as many people with them as they can. An example of this, I believe it, to me, this would be an example, is the Battle of the Bulge. An uncle of mine lost his life in the Battle of the Bulge. He was, of course, killed before I was born, so I never had the privilege of meeting him or knowing him. But the Battle of the Bulge was, the German army was completely surrounded. They had no hope.
The Americans were surrounded at Bastogne, and the Germans.
Yes. In other words, the German army was.
Had Bastogne surrounded.
Yes. But the German army, for all intents and purposes, had already lost the war.
Right.
And instead of acknowledging that, they were going to go out in a blaze of glory, so to speak. The devil is wanting to do the same thing. Now, I don't pretend to speak for the devil. I am only saying this because I see what is happening in the world. You've heard me talk the last few studies on the life road and the death road, and that God always offers a life road and a death road to the people. Always. He informs the people of what will happen to them on the life road and on the death road. And the names of the road are descriptive of the road. The life road is a road of peace and prosperity and eternal life. The death road is a road of oppression and subjugation, hardship, and disaster. And it is a road that ends. And it ends in death. Not just a death from which there is a resurrection to life. A road that ends in eternal death. And complete and utter what's the right word? Not destruction, but it will be as if they never were. They will be vaporized, and the vapor will be gone. So why do you think that the majority of people throughout the past ages have so readily and willingly chosen the death road? Why? Why would someone choose death and destruction? Why would they choose a miserable, horrible life under brutal dictators? Could it be that they feel weak and powerless? Or could it be that that's how they're made to feel? How could it be when one of God walked among his fellow mankind, healed their sick, raised their dead, cast out demons from them, and taught them the truth and the way to the kingdom, which is the life road? And at the end of his teaching, the time allotted for him to teach, these same people who had eaten bread that he had broken for them, feeding more than 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and having leftovers, who had healed lepers, given sight to the blind, made the cripples walk again and be healthy, taught in the synagogues and in the cities and the temple, encouraging them to listen to him and learn the truth, and so would have eternal life. And these same people were the ones who cried out, "Give us Barabbas and crucify the man who says he is the Son of God." I'm sure most of them were paid off rather well by the rich elite who were going to ensure that they would not lose their authority, their power, their influence, their wealth, and their high standing. And I thank my Father in the heavens. I thank my mother here by my side. I thank my brother, who not only spoke the words of truth and life, but has preserved them so that I can read and learn what he taught. My mother, the Holy Spirit, is my teacher. You can take exception to that if you want. You can say, how dare he? What makes him so special? Well, I'm not saying I'm special, and I'm not saying anything particular about me, any more particular than any one of you who are listening. What I am saying is I have no other way to explain what I have learned other than to give credit to my mother, the Holy Spirit. And not to do so would be a grave omission. And I'm here to tell you that she will teach you too if you will allow her and listen to her. But you have to understand this very clearly. What you already hold to be true, you will find is not. She's not going to force you to change your belief, but she will teach you the truth if you will set aside your prejudicial paradigms that you have been brought up with, that you have been propagandized in church. Listen to her, and she will teach you. In John chapter 6, I'm going to be reading verses 38, 39, and 40. For I have come down from heaven. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Yeah, I have that listed as John 6, 38, 39.
Yes, 38, 39, 40. Look at 39. Now he's saying that he has come down from the heavens not to do his own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Now look at what he says next. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. So when he says, lose none of what he has given me, what does he mean?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is would be people. But everything else that he said in, for instance, John 17 and other places would indicate to me that what he will not lose is the truth that he sent out. That truth will not be lost.
And that is correct, Dennis, but there's that statement is correct, but it's not complete.
Okay.
Because and believe me, I'm not criticizing you at all, because most people, I mean, for a long time I felt that it was the disciples, that God gave him the disciples and God brought the people to him. But when he says we'll lose none,
and then the other one, the other phrase is, but we'll raise it up on the last day.
Right. But see, that what I'm saying is, first he said, I came down from the heavens not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Mm-hmm. What will? For this reason I was born and came into the world to
testify to the truth. All who are of the truth will hear my voice.
So, what his Father's will is that he should testify to the truth. And what he says in that statement, he concludes with, all who are of the truth hear my voice. And what does he mean, all who are of the truth?
And you know, you could put in the word,
how do you be of the truth?
Well, you could already, you could put in the word already there as well. Those who are already,
well,
now I see this is not talking about having all of the truth. It is being active in seeking it. It is being, it is that process, being in the process of finding it.
What is his Father's will that he's doing?
Testifying
to the truth.
To
so
the
in
truth.
Other words, what his Father said is, there is no truth being proclaimed in the whole world. It's a world of darkness, which is lies. That it's a spiritual darkness. And what causes spiritual darkness is lies. Lies are words that are not true. Words that are not true. So if you have those who are of the truth, you must also have those who are of lies.
Of lies, yes. Exactly.
Now, did he come to testify to the truth for those who are of lies?
No.
What does the of mean? I think that what the of means is just as the tissue and the cells, the flesh and the blood are of your body. In other words, that's what you are. You are a flesh and blood being. So you are of flesh and blood. If you are of lies, that is the substance of your soul, the substance of your intellect. And if that's what you operate by, if your intellect, your mind has been so controlled by lies, that when the truth is spoken, you see it as lies. That is what it means to be of lies. But if you have lies, and they all did. That's what the darkness was. The spiritual darkness was everybody had been taught lies. And the truth comes, those who have not been mastered by lies will begin to entertain that teaching. They'll process it through. They'll test it. Truth is always verifiable if you will give it a fair hearing. It is always verifiable. It will never fall apart under scrutiny.
So can you assess and discover truth purely through emotion? Is there an emotional component to it?
Well, there is, but it is a component. It is not the element, fundamental element.
No.
And the reason I say that, and this, I'm glad that God has said this. If you look at the second commandment, it's there. If you look at Daniel's prayer, it's there.
You bet.
But it is not the fundamental functional element. It is more a realization, or it's more a product. That's what I mean. It is more a product of it. And what I'm specifically speaking about is love. Love is an emotion. But love isn't where you start. Love is where you finish, or at least love is where you a point that you come to. Not necessarily when you have completed. And I'm talking about the sanctification process. Love, the kind of love that I'm talking about is informed knowledge, love, knowledge-based love. Informed knowledge-based love. When God says, if you love me, keep what I say, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you demonstrate that you love me. It's like a man and a woman who meet for the first time. Both are single. And they're attracted to one another. The first thing they do is run off and get married, only to find out a little while later that was a terrible mistake?
Better not, but however, that has been known to happen. But it is rare, and so is finding truth solely on emotion.
When a single man and a single woman meet and are attracted to one another, the best thing for them to do, and most know this, is, well, I'd like to get to know you better. You know, I'm attracted to you. I'd like to get to know you better. So what do? You go out on a date. You do things. You find your common interests. You start building that bond. And as time goes on and you find that you are more and more attracted to each other, love will come as a result.
The love comes as a result of the knowledge.
That's what I'm saying.
And the understanding.
Good looks is only skin deep.
Well, and as we both know from personal experience, good looks only last so long. Sorry.
And no, Dennis, what you're saying is true. And that's why love is so important. Because if you married someone because you love them, and you love them because you got to know them, when they have their total knee, or they gain a little more weight than they should, I could go on a list. It doesn't affect your love. But living within the promises you made when you got married is still the most important part. So I believe that when the Son of God says that He has come to do the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He has given me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it. And I don't know why. Why does it say it? Raise it.
and again, that article implies a thing,
not a person,
and not a person,
not a body,
yes, exactly. So raise it up.
I believe the it is the intellect. It is the intellect. An intellect that is full of truth is what is resurrected. If you think about a loved one, both my human mother and human father have died, fallen asleep, and they no longer have a flesh body. But they're asleep. So what is left of them, other than the memories in my mind, what is left of them? What is left of them is what was the most important part of them.
Right.
Their intellect, their soul, their spirit. They are not consciously aware. They are in a deep sleep. Best explanation for it. And that is what is going to be resurrected at the last day. And that their intellect will be placed in a form. Could be a spiritual body. Could be a flesh and blood body. It would appear to me that it would be a spiritual body, but it will be a form of some kind, and they will look just as they did. I'm sure when they were young. Do looks other than for recognition, really matter?
No, and you know, what you've just said actually gives me hope that I might actually be able to comb my hair one day.
Which would be
actually astounding.
And I would be able to, and I would be able to see without correction. I
would have binocular vision again.
When I was 6 years old, I got my first pair of glasses. I needed them before that, but you know, when you're the firstborn, you are the experiment for your parents. They learn.
They learn how to do it on you, and then they fix it on the other kids. Exactly.
For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who believes the Son, that doesn't say believes in the Son, at least I can't say I have one contact in and I have my reading glasses on, so I've been blind all my life, but I'm...
You got your eye poked yesterday?
Yes, I got my eye injected. Fortunately, I didn't have the pain to go along with it, the discomfort. It was... Anyway, I have a very good retinal specialist. And for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life. And I myself will raise Him up on the last day. Now, beholds and believes. What does he mean by that? Because I haven't beheld him, nor do I behold him in the way that I understand what behold means. Behold means a see. Lo and behold.
Cannot you see someone via their character, their intellect,
Dennis,
and have that be a recognizable...
So, Dennis, then take that to the next step. Exactly. Take that to the next step. Does it matter the form that you behold?
Not a bit.
See, and that's this whole thing that's being constructed. See, what the devil uses is the devil focuses on form and visualization. This racism never should be, because what a person is not a color of their skin. Skin color has nothing to contribute to the soul, the intellect, because the soul doesn't have color. The soul doesn't have substance. The soul has only words, words that have been accepted into the consciousness awareness, accepted into the intellect operating system that is played out in the body. I have a number of very close friends in Nigeria and from Nigeria, because I've been helping Nigerian nurses immigrate to the U.S. Haven't the last few months because of all the situation, but that's what I've been doing for like almost 2 years.
And by the way, have you seen most of them in person?
No.
Haven't seen any of them in person, have you?
I haven't, and it doesn't matter, because I communicate with them with words, and they communicate with me with words.
And do you understand their spirit and their motivation?
Oh, I want to tell you.
Without having to look in their face.
I want to tell you, and I know that there are some of them that listen to this broadcast. I have a very special place in my heart, intellect, for the Nigerian people. They are an incredibly wonderful group of people. And I hope to someday be able to interact with them as in person, as yes. close friends.
Unless anybody out in our listening audience would want to take that with a grain of salt, Nigeria appears on the world map of who is listening to our show, what countries are listening right. to our show.
They are among the most wonderful people in the world. They love God, and they have such a close relationship with God that I wish we would see a little more of here. They pray for me, and I pray for them. God loves them, and God loves me. And God does not concern himself with how we look on the outside. He concerns himself with how we are on the inside, in our intellect. What the Son of God will raise up in the last day is the intellect of those who have fallen asleep in death. And he will give them a perfect bodily form. But what is it he is raising up? Is he going to raise up an intellect full of lies? Is he going to raise up an intellect full of lies that had the opportunity to learn the truth, but didn't see that it would be expedient for them? Or they determined that it was not important for them. Or for whatever reason, they determined they, in effect, rejected the truth and were satisfied with the lies. And lies can be not bad. They can be good, or at least perceived to be good. Lies can be loving and kind and humanitarian. But lies, when they are preferred over the truth, do one thing. When the Son of God said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," you could say that is, I am the way via the truth to the life. God is the truth. The Son of God is the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. They are the truth. And if you reject the truth, who are you rejecting? The true God. If you say the truth is not necessary, you're saying God is not necessary. If you're saying that the truth doesn't matter, only love, love can be a lie.
And I'm sure that most of us have experienced that one.
And if you say the truth doesn't exist, guess what? You're saying God doesn't exist.
Because he would not, Jesus would not have said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, if he did not exist as the way, the truth, and the life.
And also, when he says that he came here to testify to the truth, that he brought the truth from the Father to this world so that the world would have the truth. And if you say that the truth is not available here on this earth, and that you can't really tell whether this is the truth or that is the truth, so you just have to go with what you prefer, what you believe is the truth, then you have to ask yourself this serious question. If the truth was not necessary for salvation, as we see here testified to by John and by Matthew, then why didn't God wait till the end of the world, the time of the end, to send his son to testify to the truth so that the people could have a verifiable source of truth? But then you would have to say, well, God sent his son at the right time to testify to the truth, and that God himself is perfectly capable of preserving the truth as long as the truth is necessary. And how long is the truth necessary?
How about forever?
Eternally. The truth doesn't disappear because it's overwhelmed by lies. In fact, we have in Revelation 12 where the dragon vomits water out of his mouth to sweep the woman away. What do you think that water is coming out of the mouth of the dragon? It's a flood of lies, and it's meant to sweep the spirit of truth away. And what do we know for certain? That in that prophecy, it says the earth helped the woman and swallowed the lie so that it wouldn't sweep the truth away. We have all of what that we need. If you want to say that we can't tell what the truth is and how it was, so we just need to live as best we know how, that is accepting lies over the truth and saying God is not able to accomplish what he set out to do.
We know he will do that. Thank you, Rick. That was a fabulous study, as usual. I encourage our listeners to go to the blogtalkradio.com/SOT website this afternoon, and you can download this or any number of more than 1,100 programs that we've done over the years. We encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and read our book, The Spirit of the Church, and also The Grand Plan and other writing by Rick. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a good day, and we will see you all here tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific Time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus. So long for now.